From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia invites 27 world leaders international bodies to the Association of Southeast Nations Summit. Indonesian economic resilience aligned with Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD. Now the news in detail. Indonesia, as chair of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, said on Friday, August 11, that the country has invited 27 world leaders and international bodies to the 43rd ASEAN Summit in Jakarta from September the 5th until 7th. As reported by Antara, Director General of ASEAN Cooperation at the Foreign Affairs Ministry, Siddharto Suryodipuro, at a virtual press briefing on Friday said that he was not in a position to disclose which world leaders have confirmed their attendance at the summit. The 43rd ASEAN Summit will not only bring together the leaders of ASEAN member states, but also its external partners such as China, Japan, the Republic of Korea, and the United States. ASEAN parliaments have committed to encouraging the implementation of the resolution at the 44th ASEAN Interparliamentary Assembly, General Assembly. Deputy Head of the Interparliamentary Cooperation Agency of the Indonesian House of Representatives, Putu Supatmarudana, delivered the remarks in a statement received by Antara on Friday. He highlighted 30 resolutions that have been approved by the ASEAN parliaments, including those on issues of political stability, the issue of Myanmar, and the South China Sea. He added that the House will hand over these aspirations to the respective governments to immediately implement what is needed to be able to provide strengthening of prosperity, stability, solidity, and peace in the ASEAN region. Indonesia's health ministry is aiming to boost the availability of oncology specialist nurses in Indonesia to support the provision of optimal oncology services. The government does not want more people going abroad seeking oncology treatment if actually they can be treated in Indonesia. This was affirmed by Director General of Health Workers at the Ministry, Arianti Anaya, in Jakarta on Friday, as reported by Antara. She further noted that the availability of specialist oncology nurses needs to be increased considering the high number of cancer cases in Indonesia. She pegged the number of new cancer cases in the country at about 340,000. Therefore, efforts to increase the number of oncology health workers are important to support the government's cancer prevention and treatment program. Reform steps to strengthen the Indonesian economy align with the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, or OECD, membership requirements so that Indonesia does not require to prepare from the basics. This was pointed out by Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati in a statement received by Antara on Friday. He also remarked that Indonesia is carrying out reform in many areas that are also in accordance with the needs of a policy framework that is consistent with the OECD. Minister Sri Mulyani further added that the OECD Secretary General Matthias Cormann also praised President Joko Widodo as a country leader. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Six suspects arrested in connection with the assassination of Ecuadorian presidential candidate Fernando Villavicencio are Colombian nationals and gang members. Authorities have confirmed as former vice president demanded action over spiraling levels of violence in the South American country. As reported by CNN.com, Villavicencio, an anti-corruption campaigner and lawmaker who was outspoken about the violence caused by drug trafficking in the country, was shot dead at a campaign rally in the capital, Quito, on Wednesday. The killing of the 59-year-old came 10 days before the first round of the presidential election was set to take place. Villavicencio campaign has promised a crackdown on crime and corruption amid a deadly escalation of violence that has gripped Ecuador in recent years. Saudi Arabia's Ministry of Foreign Affairs welcomed on Friday the United Nations announcement that the transfer of more than 1 million barrels of oil from the dilapidated Yemeni tanker FSO Safer was successful. As reported by ArabNews.com, the operation, which saw 1.14 million barrels of oil taken off the decaying vessel, removed the imminent risk of a spill. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres welcomes the news that the ship-to-ship transfer of oil from the FSO Safer to the Yemen replacement vessel has been safely concluded today, avoiding what could have been a monumental environmental and humanitarian catastrophe. Vietnam has completed most of its specific targets on responding to climate change, in which the goal to reduce greenhouse gas emission per unit of GDP has exceeded the set target. As reported by vovworld.vn, the Ministry of Natural Resources and Environment made the announcement at a workshop in Hanoi on Friday, reviewing 10 years of implementing the 11-party Central Committee's resolution on proactively responding to climate change. Participants underscored the need to improve Vietnam's capacity for natural disasters forecasting, warning and monitoring, adapting to climate change, as well as natural disaster prevention in the new period and especially the reduction of greenhouse gases. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You're gone, I know that.
The first news comes from the city of Semarang, Central Java. The Indonesian Ministry of Manpower believes that the Semarang Fashion Trend 2023, held on Wednesday, August 9th, could push Semarang City to become one of the fashion cities and a trend reference in Indonesia, which prioritizes local content. In his remarks at the opening, Secretary General of the Ministry of Manpower, Anwar Sanusi, said Semarang Fashion Trend, as a result of the collaboration between the Semarang Vocational and Productivity Training Center and the Indonesian Fashion Chamber, was hoped to be able to raise typical cloth from Central Java to be able to compete in the international market. Anwar Sanusi believes that the Semarang Fashion Trend 2023 is one of the efforts to develop the country's fashion industry. Until now, the collaboration between the fashion industry and the Semarang Vocational and Productivity Training Center for Human Resources Training in the fashion industry has produced creative and innovative young fashion talents. The next news comes from Aceh. The Aceh Disaster Risk Reduction Forum proposes that the government include disaster mitigation in the school curriculum because Indonesia is a disaster-prone area. Head of the forum, Hassan Dibangka, in Banda Aceh on Wednesday said the inclusion of disaster mitigation in the school curriculum should be mandatory for educational institutions starting from early childhood education, elementary to secondary schools and tertiary institutions to make it a compulsory subject. So far, according to him, limited disaster mitigation is taught in special and certain educational institutions as well as training courses. The learning is still outside the curriculum or just being extracurricular. The latest news comes from Depok, West Java. The University of Indonesia in Depok, West Java initiated the building of the Ciherang Village Community Center in Pacet District, Cianjur Regency as a form of concerns for efforts to accelerate recovery after an earthquake with the magnitude of 5.6. The Ciherang Village Community Center was inaugurated by the university's Deputy Chancellor for Research and Innovation, Nur Tami, and was attended by a number of Ciherang Village community leaders. Nur Tami on Tuesday said that the available space could be used for various activities, such as health check services, learning, playing, and reading activities for children, gathering activities for residents, religious activities, as well as various other activities as needed. The Ciherang Village Community Center emphasizes space flexibility and speed of construction. Flexibility means that the special designs is multifunctional so that it can be used for various community activities. In less than 2 months, the building was completed and can be directly used for community activities. The speed of development while ensuring good spatial quality is an important key in post-disaster reconstruction. That was news from across Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email
voiquiz2023 at gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April the 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September the 11th, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11th, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared, who knows, you become one of the winners. From Indonesia to the world.
We begin today in history with the event on August 12, 1960, when IHO-1, the first communication satellite, was launched. The IHO satellite is also known as the HIRO satellite. HIRO is the United States' first passive communication satellite. It was made of metal balloons, 30 meters or HIRO-1 and 42 meters or HIRO-2 in diameter. Successively, the two satellites were launched in 1960 and 1964 by NASA. HIRO-1 is a passive communication satellite. It functions as a reflector, but not a transmitter. After being placed in low Earth orbit, the signal was sent to HIRO, reflected or bounced off the surface, then it was back to Earth. HIRO-1 is visible to the naked eye due to its low-lying, luminous surface. This satellite appeared from below on one side of the horizon. Then it disappeared on the opposite horizon after crossing the sky, as well as other LEO satellites. Let's move to another event of 1985 when Japan Airlines Flight 123 fell into the Takamagahara Mountains. Japan Airlines Flight 123 or JAL 123 is a Boeing 747-146SR with registration number JA8119. This plane crashed on Mount Takamagahara in Gunma Prefecture, Japan, 100 km from Tokyo on August 12, 1985. The location of the crash was on two mountain ridges near Mount Osutaka, called Osuwakano 1 or Osutaka Ridge. The single plane accident was the worst in aviation history, with all 15 crew members dead and 105 out of 509 passengers killed, including the famous actor and singer Kyu Sakamoto, for a total of 520 people. There were four survivors. They were all women. Some of the people who died actually survived but finally died after waiting for the rescue team. We end today in history with the event of the World Elephant Day. World Elephant Day is an annual international event on August 12, which is dedicated to the preservation and protection of the world's elephants. This annual event was stipulated by Canadian filmmakers Patricia Sims and Michael Clark of Cannes West Pictures and Sivaporn Dardarananda. Secretary General of the Elephant Reintroduction Foundation in Thailand in 2011, and it was officially founded, supported, and launched by Patricia Sims and the Elephant Release Foundation on August 12, 2012. Since then, Patricia Sims has continued to lead and direct World Elephant Day, which is now supported by more than 65 wildlife organizations and many people around the world. The purpose of World Elephant Day is to create awareness about the suffering of Asian and African elephants urgently and share knowledge and definitive solutions for better care and management of captive and wild elephants. The African elephant is listed as vulnerable and the Asian elephant as endangered on the IUCN Red List of Endangered Species. That's today in history from Voice of Indonesia.
Sekian bintang cakrawala, apa hanya kita saja yang bernyawa lahir? Kita semua tak berdaya. Lalu hidup kita mesti berupaya dan dewasa terpaksa.
Still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, the next segment is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is on trade representatives in 45 countries ready to collaborate with Indonesian micro, small and medium enterprises and startups. Indonesian Minister of Trade Zulkifli Hasan emphasized the importance of cooperation and collaboration in maximizing the development potential of micro, small, and medium enterprises and startups especially cooperation in working on domestic and foreign markets so as to support Indonesia's economic growth. Indonesian trade representatives in 45 countries are ready to collaborate to develop export markets. Minister of Trade Zulkifli Hasan stated this as a speaker at the Road to Indonesia Startup Ecosystem Summit 2023 in Surakarta, Central Java on Friday, August 11. He revealed to open market access for micro, small, and medium enterprises products, the Ministry of Trade has representatives in 45 countries. They consist of one ambassador at the World Trade Organization, WTO, one Indonesian Economic and Trade Office, and one Trade Consulate, 23 Trade Attaché, and 19 Indonesian Trade Promotion Centers. Zulkifli Hasan further said that the Ministry of Trade also opened access through cooperation agreements with partner countries to reduce export barriers. Currently, the Ministry of Trade has concluded 30 trade agreements, including with the Association of Southeast Asian Nations or ASEAN and the United Arab Emirates. It also continues to open non-traditional markets, for example, with India and Pakistan. He added the Ministry of Trade has also made a way to minimize the obstacles experienced by exporters. He gave an example when exporting shoe products to the European Union, which are subject to a 9% tax, and food exports to a 20% tax. Zulkifli Hasan explained, for the domestic sector, the Ministry of Trade has developed an ecosystem by building a four-pillar collaboration, namely micro, small, and medium enterprises, marketplaces, modern retail, and financing institutions. Marketplaces can synergize with micro, small, and medium enterprises through a series of training by service providers. Meanwhile, modern retail plays a role in providing access to partnerships so that the range of micro, small, and medium enterprises products can be wider, one of which is realized through modern retailers that supply local micro, small, and medium enterprises product typical of an area. Meanwhile, financial institutions or banks provide access to financing for the enterprises. He further said that the Ministry of Trade was conducting e-commerce arrangement to protect micro, small, and medium enterprises and prioritize domestic products. In the last 5 years, from 2018 until 2055, the digital economy has made a major contribution to the Indonesian economy. The Central Bank or Bank Indonesia recorded the value of e-commerce transactions throughout 2022 reach 476.3 trillion rupiahs, and in 2023 it is estimated to reach 533 trillion rupiahs. That was my Indonesia Today.
Oh God, is it too much to ask? Or is it just the wrong ones I keep asking for? Or perhaps it's me who seeks home, who needs a bit of warmth. Yet I stand too close to the sun, and I'm sure it's me who seeks light to make it through the night. Yet I burn the candle on the both ends, and I finally see dots connected,
the picture's complete.
Now I see what I don't, what I failed to carry, what I thought it might be.
The picture's complete.
I understand more what it means. Our love, the love, our love. Oh, life of the
This is Voice of Indonesia, the overseas broadcasting service of Radio Republik Indonesia. Now we present you Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. Jepara Regency is one of the cities located on the north coast of Central Java. Although it is located in the coastal area, Jepara Regency is also flanked by Mount Muria. On the slopes of Mount Muria, there are many waterfalls. One of them is the Jurang Nganten waterfall, which is about 26 kilometers from Jepara City, precisely in the village of Tanjung Pakis Aji Subdistrict, Jepara. Listener, the waterfall of Jurang Nganten is about 50 meters high and it has its own beauty. Usually, the water falls straight down while the Jurang Nganten waterfall falls on a horizontal wall. So, the waterfall can be seen as if it has a waterfall falling on top of the waterfall. The location of this waterfall is still quiet and calm. The atmosphere is still beautiful, cool and calm, and the route is quite of testing your adrenaline, making this place worth exploring for adventurous lovers. There are two paths to get to Jurang Nganten waterfall. The first is the path that will take you above the Jurang Nganten waterfall, and the second is the path that can take you directly under the waterfall. You have to be careful because the road to the Jurang Nganten is very challenging and slippery during the rainy season. However, despite the difficulty of the journey that must be passed, your struggle will be paid off as soon as your eyes and body see the amazingly beautiful scenery. Listener, Jurang Nganten waterfall has an interesting story. Nganten waterfall, it is said that a long time ago there were two lovers who loved each other, but because they did not get the blessing of each of their parents, they both decided to elope. Because at the time there was no lighting and the road they were traveling on was still covered in forests and ravines, the train or carriage that took them fell into a ravine and is now known as Jurang Nganten, and waterfall that is called Juranganten Waterfall. Nganten in Javanese comes from the word bride. Listener, Juranganten Waterfall doesn't have operating hours, certainly, but visitors should come in the morning and return before sunset. Entering the location is also still free of charge. However, to visit the Juranganten Waterfall, you must always look at the situation and conditions, because the condition of the Juranganten Waterfall is influenced by the season. In the rainy season, the water flows much faster than in the dry season. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. I am Ahmad Faisal.
Stripes and lonely, hiding, wishing, waiting. Well, I am, here I am. I'm standing still, stare at you only. Everything has bloomed. All I want is just to stay. You can't shake me, I will never dare. The day.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occur in Indonesia.
In today's miscellany, artists of Papua and East Nusa Tenggara perform at Melanesian Cultural Festival. Artists from Papua and East Nusa Tenggara caught the attention of Vanuatu residents at the 7th Melanesian Arts and Culture Festival in Port Vila, Vanuatu on 26 July 2023. Apart from fulfilling an invitation from the Deputy Prime Minister of Vanuatu to the Prime Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia during a working visit to Jakarta on June 2023, the presence of Papuan and NTT artists at MacFest is also part of Indonesian cultural diplomacy to the Melanesian region. Indonesia sent 28 artists from Papua and East Nusa Tenggara to participate in the 7th Melanesian Arts and Culture Festival. They brought performances by combining Indonesian and Melanesian cultures. The Papuan artists were Michael Jakari Milena, Lala Suwages, Franz Sisir, and Boy Soaswa. The songs that they performed were songs with Melanesian nonsense, accompanied by Indonesian music. The songs performed included Kawarine, Wayawai Windane, and Diru Diru Ninao, as well as the performance of a dance group from Papua, Kasbi Dance, which accompanied the musical performance. On another occasion, the village music group Leisplang from Maumere, NTT, also performed the Ikun Beta Dance, followed by the song Sora and Gemu Famire, as well as songs that raise environmental issues. This performance used traditional musical instruments such as gong, waning, saur, djembe with teren bass, ukulele, benyol, and violin to create a unique harmony in each song performed. MacFest is a meeting place for artists from member countries of the Melanesian Spearhead Group. Indonesia in this case is an associate member along with other companies, such as Fiji, Papua New Guinea, Solomon Island, Vanuatu, and the Front de Liberation Nationale Kanak et Sosialiste. The Melanesian Arts and Culture Festival has been running since 1998. The event was organized by the government of Vanuatu along with the MSG Secretariat to promote regional cooperation and understanding by bringing together people from all MSG members' countries, as well as allied countries and territories. Through the performances of Papuan and NTT artists at MacFest, it is hoped that the Melanesian people will be able to understand Indonesia as a pluralistic country that prioritizes the value of unity. One of the members of Leisplang, Eric, said he was proud of the appreciation given by the Vanuatu public, which made him continue to be passionate about preserving East Indonesian traditional music. This appearance abroad is also the first experience that he is very proud of. Their representative for the artist team from Papua, Putri Nere, said that performing in Vanuatu was a special experience. The Melanesian Festival is a good opportunity for him to show the connection between Melanesian culture and the diversity of Indonesian culture. And that's miscellany.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared. Who knows, you become one of the winners.
From Indonesia to the world.
You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOA listener, today's Music Corner presents a keroncong song entitled Indonesia Jelita by Toto Salmon. This song was composed by Pekeli Puspito and popularized by Toto Salmon. Indonesia Jelita is the first single from a keroncong album with the same title, Indonesia Jelita, which in English means beautiful Indonesia. The song describes how beautiful the landscape of Indonesia is, starting from the sea, the beach, mountain, to valleys, and its world-famous culture. Well, listener, here is the song by Toto Salmon entitled Indonesia Jelita.
Semerbak atas dirimu. Kecantikan wajahmu, ketenaran, kebudayaan rakyatmu, itu semua terjalin indah, menambah harum semerbak namamu.
Listener, it's time for me to sign out now. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id and RRI Playgo mobile app. Don't forget to check our social media accounts, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, VOI Indonesia. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati signing out. See you in the next English program.